Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Guess what, guys?
We're not doctors.
No, we are not.
If you're going to be making any major medical decisions, please consult your doctor.
Yes, and that includes diets, exercise, medications, and surgery.
We love you guys.
And we want you to be in our OSLP family forever.
So be careful
and consult your doctors.
Have you heard of ProCare, or just have you been living under a rock?
ProCare is the very first bariatric multivitamin to develop a one-a-day vitamin. That's right, you heard it correctly.
One a day.
And they also have delicious dark chocolate calciums that are available during the winter months.
That's right. So go to ProCareNow.com, get your calcium chews, get your multivitamin, and use OSLP for a discount.
Are you located in the Florida area? Well, we have the perfect office for you. Dr. Fridley and his wife, Macy, have created the perfect welcoming and safe place for your bariatric journey.
That's right. So click on the link below to start your weight loss journey now. And don't forget to tell them that the OSLP's girls sent you.
Welcome back, OSLP family.
Welcome, welcome.
You are listening to Our Sleeve Life podcast, and this is Kelly.
This is Mel.
You're so ridiculous.
Oh
my God. Ignore her ridiculousness and just go to oursleeplifepodcast.com. We have everything for you on the website. Yep. There are digital downloads, our pillar trackers on there. You want to check that out.
Our merch.
We got newsletters going out twice a week. Once a week.
Once a week
solidly. You may get a surprise one in there.
Yeah.
Also.
There you go.
And
weekly with a bonus.
Weekly with a bonus. That is right. And in those newsletters, there are actually journal prompts from the episodes that come out, which lead us back to the pillar tracker. Because after every week of tracking, you also have a journal page.
You do.
So you can journal your little hearts out because we love it.
We love journaling and it's super helpful. So, and I know I sometimes need a prompt because I'm like, I don't know what to talk about.
Yeah. There's too much going on in your head and you can't quite get it onto paper. So definitely love the journal prompts and it makes you think about your bariatric journey in a different way, which I love.
100%.
Yes. So, and then the other button that's on there, if you go to the top
right corner,
it says become a patron. Why do they want to become a patron, Mel?
Because it's the best thing ever.
Duh. And you get to support us.
Yeah. Well, because
we support you.
Yeah. If you pick the $7 tier or higher, now you are in the winner's bench with the OSLP girls. And we hang out with you. We talk to you. We're in a whole Facebook group chat. And it's not weird.
It's not that Facebook group. So get that out of your head. Right.
You know
now.
Which ones we're talking about.
Yes. We all know those Facebook groups. This is not that. This is a supporting, loving, wonderful place to be. And we have made it that way on purpose because we don't want the other.
We wouldn't want that. You know?
So
we're not going to provide that. We wouldn't handle that either.
Yeah. You can share your wins. You can share your down days. We know more about the people in the winner's bench than I think I do my own family.
Oh, I 100% do. Like, I can guarantee it. That's I know awesome. People's full, like, because I do the credits at the end. I know their first and last name. I sometimes know how many kids you have.
Where you live.
Some people
that's
have.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah,
but
literally
whatever.
Where you've lived. Yeah. I 100% know.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy. So we could stalk you if we wanted to.
Reverse stalking.
We won't because we have no time to do that. But yeah.
Fair. Yeah, so become a patron. It's very possible you could become apparently stalked.
You could. You could get stalked by the OSLP girls. I mean, I do love a good project. So
I know you do.
Stalking kind of goes with that a little bit.
Oh my God. So yeah. So that's on patreon.com/OSLP. Again, yes. Pick $7 or higher. You get episodes, special episodes from us. You also get to meet us every month. We do a Zoom call with our patrons.
Yep.
And we just did one last week.
It was so
much
great.
Fun.
It was so great.
It was like one of my favorites.
Yeah.
So
we had great conversations. We had great, like, just big things come out during it that were just so needed to be talked about.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, that's how we live our life on this podcast. So,
well, and that's why we want you to join.
Yes, exactly. So now, if you need a free way,
there's always a free way.
There's a free way to support us, guys. It's preloaded on your phone. Mm-hmm. It's YouTube.
YouTube.
And you want to go on there, hit subscribe, hit that little bell so you're notified when future videos like this drop. So what's funny about that saying, and I'm going to scroll for a hot second because there's a purpose. So I was at dinner with my mom.
Okay.
And she said something about she got notified when a video dropped. And I was like, oh, on YouTube? I was like, you must have hit that little bell and the subscribe button so you're notified when future videos like this drop. And she, like, everybody at the table was like, huh?
Oh, you just did a little ad.
And I literally did our ad because I was like, I couldn't get it out of my head until I said it. So,
it's so good. But it's true. And you literally get a video from us every single Tuesday.
Yes.
So 1 week is going to be me and Kelly.
Yep.
And we chit chat about shit. And then we bring on an expert on the other one or someone else's story.
Yes. And this one, we have somebody.
Yeah.
And this is so much fun for us.
It is.
Because
I think we just.
This person has a retreat.
Yes, she does.
In August. In motherfucking Bali.
In Bali, guys.
In motherfucking Bali.
That's right.
So
I think she's going to be our soul sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And guess who's going to motherfucking Bali?
We are!
Yay!
Kelly. Bam.
So we want to introduce Miss Georgie.
Miss Georgie.
Hello. Well, you two are hilarious. You crack me up.
We're so random.
And I can't wait to meet you in Bali.
Yes.
So exciting.
Okay, I have a question. How long is the flight for you to go to Bali?
The flight for me is around, and I know where this is heading.
Yes.
It's around 4 to 5 hours.
Aw,
fuck your face.
our trip is going to be like 22 hours.
It's okay.
I know.
It's worth stupid. It, though. We're going to the other side of the country.
We are. And
other
I
side of the world,
wait.
Actually. The world.
The world.
And it's Bali.
It's Bali. And can you tell us or tell our people what this retreat is supposed to be and like, why?
How did it come to fruition?
Because I'm curious.
Yeah. So I'm a psychologist working in this space with bariatric patients. And I've teamed up with a colleague and friend of mine, Margaret Hayes, who's a bariatric dietitian, because nothing's in isolation, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember back in the day, I had a vision board. And I would have been probably like even early 20s. And I had a retreat in there that I've always wanted to run a retreat. And then I didn't think much of it. Like I kept on the vision board. And then Margaret and I were collaborating and chatting. And we're like, what about a retreat in Bali? Mm-hmm. And that had been on her vision board as well in the past. So
Ooh.
It was like all the stars aligned.
I love it.
And we're so excited. It's for bariatric patients. We call it like a luxe ladies retreat.
Oh.
And it's all about taking you on a really transformative journey to really step you into your thriving self. So I'm going to be running specialist sessions with psychology. Margaret's going to be taking all of the nutrition, and we've got lots of amazing things planned, massages, we've got cooking classes, we've got a day trip to the Pyramids of Chi for a beautiful sound healing, and it's
so exciting.
And the retreat space is mind-blowing. Like, it's amazing.
Oh my God. Margaret sent me like so many videos.
I know.
And I am just like, can we be there now? Like, mm-hmm. I could really use this now, but it's okay.
It's okay. We got Florida.
We got Florida.
We just came back from Florida when you hear this, so it's kind of weird.
Yeah, we'll have just gotten back from the Bridgerton luncheon, mm-hmm. which is going to be amazing. So fun. But I'm just excited to be somewhere in a space of just healing.
Yeah. Like, for real
healing.
And Bali
is the place. Oh. Bali is the place. And we're all going to have our Julia Roberts moment from Eat, Pray, Love, aren't we?
Yes, yes we are. Yes. For those that don't know what that means, can you explain to the audience what that is?
Yeah. So in the movie, in the book, she went to Bali for this healing experience. And there was like, you know, yoga, meditation, and just the best parts of Bali. It is just such a special, special place. Mm-hmm. And it's got a certain energy there, and just even being part of that and everything we'll be doing in the retreat is, it's going to be a very memorable and life-changing.
Oh yeah. Excited.
I'm just excited to go and just be myself and just mm-hmm. heal me and mm-hmm. deal with my demons, you know? Like we don't really have time for that. Like, we do therapy.
we don't.
But like, me and Kelly are in therapy for a reason. Like, we need that release. Yeah. It's very important. But like, me and Kelly have been through so much these past, it'll be 4 years mm-hmm. of doing the podcast and all the things. Like, my kid's going to be 18 years old. Like, in four days. So it's just like, me and Kelly haven't had time to just stop, breathe it all in, and just heal from some of this.
Yeah.
You know, and this is like such a cool time to go. It's going to be in August, guys. Mm. And oh my goodness, like, I'm just ready to just launch in, just see where it goes.
Well, and give it our all.
Yeah.
Because I think also with not having time, we also are busy supporting other people.
Yeah.
And so it's hard for us to shut off our support mm-hmm. and just be there as individuals.
It's hard.
Obviously, we're going as OSLP too, but it is hard as an individual to go to these things and not be on.
Yeah. And that's definitely a theme. And part of why we're going to a place like Bali is because we all get caught up in that day to day. Many of the women that are coming in a caretaking role, whether that's professionally or at home personally, elderly parents, whatever that looks like, there's stress. And then they end up, their needs just get bumped right down the bottom of the list. And this is all about just taking those steps up the ladder, mm-hmm. prioritizing yourself and doing this really important work for the longer term.
Yeah. Well, and I think that perfectly encompasses therapy
mm-hmm.
in itself, because you're doing this work to be better for yourself and others in your life. But number one, you, which is, I think, very exciting that we have you on mm-hmm. because I have some questions.
Yes. And so can you explain to everybody what your specialty is and how did you get into the specialty?
Yeah.
Yes. So as I mentioned, I'm a registered psychologist, which over here in Australia is 6 years of training, and it's a highly regulated industry, which means that we only can use evidence-based tools backed by science. So there's no fads, there's no gimmicks or quick fixes here. And I have been working in this space for over 10 years. I struggled myself growing up with my eating and weight. So I was really badly bullied by my older sister and every day she'd tell me that I was ugly, I was fat. My parents worked full time. So my dad's a psychologist, my mom's a counselor. And as it turns out, my hubby has also got a psychology background too. So
surprise,
it's kind of like
my
DNA. That's amazing.
But yeah, my parents worked really long hours. And so we had a lot of babysitters after school. And this was sort of a time when my sister would really target me because my parents weren't around. And I just used to go to the fridge and and after school. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then what happened is, as I grew up, I found I still had that same narrative. So where it was coming from my sister, I just then kept that going. So I would really beat myself up. I would then replace her narrative with my narrative, like I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm not good enough. I just, over the years, stacked on the weight. My self-worth was, you know, all-time low. I was single. I felt like I would never meet anyone. And I tried all the diets out there. And then I just kept getting bigger and bigger over the time. And then because of this psychology being a part of my DNA, I kind of went down a different path. And then I saw different therapists and I did a lot of talk therapy, some tools in there. And then I studied psychology and then started to find these evidence-based tools that can literally upgrade and update the brain's pathways around food. And so I'm accredited to use these tools. And one of them we're going to talk about today is EMDR. And that's really exciting. It's known as the fourth wave in psychology. So, it's very much a trauma-based tool, gold standard for trauma. However, I've also been trained in a protocol for eating and weight, and I've also created my own protocols for bariatric patients. I've collected data, and I've even presented this data in front of other psychologists at a conference. So,
that's exciting.
Yeah, so really trying to contribute to this area as well.
Yeah, so what does EMDR stand for?
Are you feeling a little sluggish? Little lack of protein, little lack of caffeine. Well, we got the fix for that.
That's right. Dive Bar Nutrition has the best protein bars. They have caffeine, protein, and they taste delicious.
So head on over to divebarnutrition.com and use code OSLP at checkout.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mouthful and no one ever remembers this, but it's eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing.
Okay.
So hence we say EMDR.
yes.
But now that you said the words, now I understand what it's doing though. Like eye movement.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So its origins were around 1987 with an American psychologist who was randomly taking a walk in the woods and noticed that changing her eye movements when she was connecting with a distressing memory really reduced the distress of the memory. Wow, and that's the origin of EMDR. It's a tool that has around 30 years of extensive research. Wow. As I mentioned, basis is more around trauma, particularly PTSD. It's a gold standard. Wow. But we also know obesity and trauma. There's a significant link there, and I use it for food cravings that I'll talk to you about that as well.
Yeah, I'm very interested on the food craving part of it because I know that I cope with food. I know, like, if I can look back on my life, I can see exactly the coping that I was doing.
Right, you can see it all in there, and you're like, man, like I've been searching my brain for the first one because I know that's like we got to find it.
Oh, your first.
Like when I like grabbed food, not like, because obviously I probably would have been fed some of these times too, of like, because my mom would just give me certain foods.
Yeah.
But now I'm trying to figure out like, when is the first time
I
actually did it.
Yeah.
So
I don't know if I could pinpoint it yet. Maybe Georgie will help me find it.
I think she is.
And you know, what's really interesting about that is we, with the EMDR protocol, we don't link the thought, because often that's what happens when I start working with clients. They're like, I'm just trying to rack my brain and go back and find memories that are linked to my eating and weight. Mm-hmm. So we don't think our way out of it because that's tapping into our conscious mind, which is only 10%. We want to tap into the subconscious mind.
Okay.
So we know sort of that iceberg analogy. Mm-hmm. The 10% of us that we can see is our conscious mind. That's our logical mind. Analytical mind. Anytime we diet, for instance, we're connecting in with our conscious mind.
Okay.
But all of these eating habits, and I call it eating sabotage, when we know what we should be doing and we tend to do the opposite, that's all happening outside of our conscious awareness, which is our subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. And so our eating habits are in charge of 90% of our choices. So what I love about EMDR is it's a tool that taps into the subconscious mind, which is why I love using it and why I found it so effective, because mindset hacks, anything kind of just that conscious mind, fine in the short term, but we are wanting longer term change, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people in the community say that exact thing. They say like, I know what I have to be doing. I know what I should be doing, but I can't get to that point where I actually make the good decision. And I can totally feel that statement, because I'm like, I know I should be doing A, B, and C. What is the block? Or we could go into the fact that I love yoga. I loved doing it. There is some block between me loving yoga to actually doing the yoga.
I think I figured it out.
What?
It's Cody.
Well, duh.
But no, but like, you haven't done it since you left that house.
Yes. There's something there.
Yeah.
That, so it's not about the yoga then.
It's probably not.
Did you say it's probably not the yoga? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not about the yoga.
For sure.
Yeah.
The yoga is the trigger, but there'll be something deeper there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
So it's just bringing up all those memories. Yep.
I don't want to deal with it.
No. And what I love about EMDR is it's a very, and particularly this protocol that I use, it's a very gentle, safe way to do this work. Okay. It's not talk therapy where we talk about it and you have to relive it and stay in it. Mm-hmm. So this particular protocol with EMDR is a lot more gentle and safe, and clients, yeah, really appreciate that, because no one wants to go back in and dig everything up, right? And have to sit with it.
Mm-hmm. It feels like you're in like a hornet's nest.
It does feel weird.
And like, if you just sit still and don't move, nothing will happen. But that's a lie.
I can envision that on you.
Right? You're like, just like, don't say anything. Don't breathe. Just mm-mm. Don't do anything. But then of course it all comes up.
It does. One way or another. Like, I would rather have this experience that you're talking about than the living in it.
Oh yeah.
Because when you live in it, like, me and Kelly's uncovered several things in our therapies. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is, like, you feel that for like a week or so. Mm-hmm. Like, it sometimes it doesn't just leave after the session.
No.
Or the next day. No. Normally for me, I need 24 hours after a session. But mm-hmm. like, some of those were like, nah, this one's set for a while.
Yeah.
This one's gonna be here.
Yeah. I would agree. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a reason why we don't work together on Tuesdays, because that's my therapy. Mm-hmm. Well, used to be both of ours.
Yeah, I'm trying to get mine on that schedule.
Yeah, because it just works, because like, when you're too high of emotions and you've been working through traumas and things that have happened to you, like, you can't be in a room with another person. Like, you need to be able to like process.
Decompress.
Correct.
Yeah, decompress, process, all of that. Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
You can't be creative like that.
Yeah.
No.
Exactly.
Yeah. 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 And I think we also don't appreciate that we store everything in our body as well. And often we're not even aware of it. So for many of us, we're carrying around, I call it like this excess baggage. It's like way too much Louis Vuitton that we're kind of carrying around. And it just no longer serves us. And a lot of it doesn't even belong to us. Like, we kind of inherit it from our family and the messages that we have been given growing up. Mm-hmm. And it's all in there. And unless we start to process it out of us, it can become in control of our decisions today. Wow. And we know what's in control of our decisions today determines our future decisions, right,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, yes, it really does.
And that's what I want to change.
Mm-hmm.
Is I want to be able to be the person that I know I can't be.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and I think, can you kind of explain what stress does to the body? Because I think like, we hear it every once in a while, but we don't actually know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So stress, particularly cortisol, is a hormone that is triggered in the body. And it has, particularly with our nervous system. So our nervous system can go into that fight, flight, or freeze mode. And what I have found, particularly more and more as I do this work more and more, is that so many of us are in either that fight or flight mode with our nervous system. And what this means for cravings is any time we get activated with that fight or flight mode, which is our stress center in the brain, that's when we go for the food.
And that's also where the unconscious is making decisions.
100%. And often we don't even realize, it's not like we're walking around and saying, oh my, often we say we're stressed, we feel stressed, but we don't actually get in the body and feel it. It's happening outside of our conscious awareness. So there's a lot happening in our system, in our subconscious mind, that we're not aware of, that's taking us to the food. And stress and the regulation of our nervous system plays a huge part with that as well.
Okay. And then what are some ways that we can get beyond that? Because that's what I'm thinking is, like, how do we, because we can't just live our lives in this constant stress
bubble.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So two things. Okay. One is the deeper work of, say, EMDR or another tool or therapy of starting to clear out in your system some of those stresses that you're carrying around probably since childhood, and releasing them and releasing out what no longer serves you, because that's not part of this new identity, right? And then the other part of it is day-to-day. So self-soothing is absolutely key, and just really regulating our nervous system. So this could be, you might have heard of box breathing, is a really simple strategy.
What's that?
Box breathing. So it's breathing, yeah. So you breathe in for a few counts, and then you hold it longer, and then breathe out in a box.
Okay.
And so that really turns on our parasympathetic nervous system, which is that rest digest, which is where we want to be, beautiful place to be.
The rest and digest system.
Rest and digest is our friend.
Okay. Rest and digest. Okay.
Your friend. Okay. So you will do that's good to know. So I get anxiety sometimes around too many people. Or if I have, it's really just too many things. Like if there's too many, literally, it could be like, even Kelly's notices me. I'll like move stuff because I feel like it's too cluttered around me. Mm-hmm. It's things
she
and people. I do. So like if I, sometimes I just have to like count and like get myself out of it. So I could do the box thing.
Well, that's basically what I have you do.
Yeah. Cause I grip and breathe is what I do.
Yeah.
Cause my therapist told me to grip, and then Kelly added the breathing.
Yeah. And through the nose,
out through the mouth. And that has really helped. Mm-hmm. So does that FYI.
Can I teach you another one?
Yeah.
This is my favorite. It's called a butterfly hug. Oh. And so you just cross over in front of you. That's it.
Okay.
And just slowly tap on each shoulder. Yep. And even if you feel comfortable, you can close down your eyes. And just start to focus on your breathing, big breath in, big breath out, and just slow everything right down. How's that feeling?
Stupidly good.
Yes.
It's that tapping for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's interesting is it's a little bit of EMDR because we are a bit like the eye movements.
Okay.
It's the right and the left-hand side hemispheres of the brain. So, and this is a beautiful self-soothing technique, because anytime we have a craving, as I mentioned, our nervous system is fired up, our amygdala, that stress center in the brain is fired up. I always get my clients, when they have a craving, to come back, just close their eyes, come back and do the butterfly hug. And it regulates your nervous system.
Okay.
And it self-soothes, because we know we use food to self-soothe.
Right.
So we can now, we've got a tool that we no longer need to go for the food every time. We can do this internally. Mm. And even just the simple process of this and creating a new habit can really help with cravings in the moment as well.
Wow.
So I can use that for my anxiety and cravings.
Yes.
100%.
The butterfly hug.
Butterfly hug.
I'm a big fan of the butterfly hug.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Anytime you get triggered, so even, or have a craving, so, or both.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Sometimes a trigger and a craving go side by side.
Well, they definitely do, because I know for me, if I'm triggered by something, i.e. Zach, no, I'm joking. Then I typically go towards a food item.
Yep.
Because it's easier to deal with it, because I know. So I kind of had this discussion with my therapist last week.
Okay.
And I told you about it, like, I'm more comfortable in the dysfunction and I'm more comfortable in the kind of more negative space because I know what to do with that. Mm-hmm. When I'm happy and everything's going okay or great, I don't know what to do with that. Mm-hmm. And so my mind has a problem and then I start stressing out because I'm just waiting for the good to fall to bad, because then at least I know what to do with it.
And what can even happen as well with that is you can get in first to sabotage that. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, well, it's going to end soon, right? So I'll be in control of when that ends rather than waiting for that to end by itself.
Yep.
So we can self-sabotage with that pattern as well, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's exactly what it is. So I'm working on how to get past that and like be comfortable in the positive and the good.
Yeah. The happy.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for it to all fall apart.
You know what's interesting? Well, oh, sorry.
Yeah. Sorry.
I'll go. You okay. Go. Okay. What's interesting is that I remember that feeling for years, and I used to get it just like in my gut. I would feel like something was going to physically drop every day.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden that was gone. The gut feeling. I was like, I'm fine. And I don't know what, literally I don't, because it wasn't when I got on anxiety meds. It wasn't when I went to therapy. It was like 5 or 6 years ago. And I was like, I'm just at peace. Mm. It was interesting. But yeah, I remember that physical feeling of just always thinking something bad's going to happen.
Yep.
And you're prepared for it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I like to say, like, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen to me.
You do say that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the one thing, that I'd like to share around that is that as human beings, our brain is wired to survive, not thrive.
Oh, okay.
So we love problems.
Yeah. I like solving and fixing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, going round and round and looking for problems. And this is part of our evolution of how we have survived, looking for problems, looking for threats. So we are all naturally wired for the negative. So that's why I also find it's hard for people to implement positive change, because there's that part of us that will try and bring us back to what is safe, which is just what is comfortable and familiar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, that makes
I have a lot
sense.
Of anxiety when we go places because of that, like, because I don't know what to expect. Mm. So if I know exactly what to expect, then I'm okay. So like, and I think that's why I like to go back to the same places I've already been.
Because you know what to expect.
I know what to expect. I know what to do there. Mm-hmm. Versus going to Bali, which is all new.
All new.
It's all new. But thank God I'll have a therapist there. So
yes, we will.
I've got you.
Yeah. She will make sure we're okay.
So I find it interesting that our brain is hardwired to survive and not thrive.
Yeah.
Because we're constantly trying to
thrive.
To thrive, to do better.
Yep.
Yeah. And who doesn't want to thrive? Yep. Right. It's like, who doesn't want to get to their goal weight? Mm-hmm. But again, that's the desire that comes from the conscious mind, which is 10%. But underneath the surface can be the opposite of what we truly want, which is a big area that I work with a lot of clients on, is our negative beliefs, because that's really what's in charge. This is really getting to the root cause behind our eating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead.
So why do you think that people are so scared to touch the 90%?
Well, Control. Control. Like what we talked about, going to the same place, right?
Okay, so it's all about control.
It's controlling. 100%. Yeah, we're trying to control our narrative.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Okay. Yes.
So I noticed when I was really in the thick of my struggles is that I had this mind-body disconnection. Okay. So up here, so I sort of say the conscious mind is sort of the head, right? Analytical, logical. And then from the neck down in the body is the subconscious mind, where we have our habits, our beliefs, our feelings. And so often we're very comfortable up here in our mind. And then I know back in the day, I was just like, I don't want to get into my body. I don't know what's going to come up. Is it going to be dark? Yeah. Mm-hmm. How am I going to cope?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's one of the...
It feels scary.
Well, because I've been told by one of our good friends, Tabitha, the Real Berry Boss on Instagram, that we should do EMDR. Mm-hmm. And I've read about it. I've talked to you about it. It scares the shit out of me. And it's because I have no idea what that 90% is going to look like. It's so nerve-wracking. Mm.
I mean, I can attest to that. Yeah. It's like, I've been in therapy for...
Two years?
No, a year and a half.
Yeah, we're getting close to two.
Yeah. And it scares the shit out of me every day. Yeah. Like, therapy scares the shit out of me because I never know... Because I have this really neat superpower. Really neat superpower where I actually take things that are bad that happened to me and I bury them so deep in my brain, I don't even know they happened. So extra scary when you're going into therapy because you're like, I don't know what's buried in there. Yeah. I don't know what's going to pop out now. Like,
well, because I can tell you what I do remember. So that's why I'm like, I don't know. No idea. Mm-hmm. So
when the bad is what you can remember, you're like, fuck that. I'm not looking at what's buried deeper than that.
I mean, so what do you do with a client like that? Like where they're scared, but they want the help.
Yeah.
So I think, and I'm so glad you brought that up because I think that would be the number one barrier is just that loss of control. It does seem scary because it's unfamiliar. What are we going to find?
Yeah.
The one thing I did want to say is I don't have many memories myself growing up.
Okay.
And that can be quite common. So I work with a lot of feelings in the body to process that out. But in terms of the first couple of sessions, I start to work with the desire to eat, so that craving, and use EMDR to really disconnect the feeling and the food that is otherwise paired together in the brain. So if I give you an example of that, let's say it's 9 p.m. at night, you're alone, TV's on, chocolate comes out. And like, that's your
cookie time. Mm-hmm.
It's cookie time. It's cookie time. Butter toffee cashew time.
And this is a pattern over time. And often it's a pre-surgery habit or pattern as well. What's happening in the brain is that we have locked in a positive feeling into this habit. So the 9 p.m. cookie or the 9 p.m. chocolate. What we're craving is not the chocolate. We think we are, but we're craving the feeling that we've connected in with the chocolate or the cookie. So for many of us, exactly, it's relaxation. It's me time. Like the whole day, a bit like we were talking about before, the whole day has been about everyone else, everyone else's needs, and this is one thing just for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the issue is we associate it with food.
Yes. I 100% do.
I will agree.
So EMDR just disconnects that. So the cookie becomes the cookie. The chocolate becomes the chocolate without all of that kind of excitement, desire, salivation, anticipation.
Ooh. Isn't that
so it neutralizes
like
it.
Coping in general, though?
What?
Like not positive coping, not self-soothing, but like all coping could be that, right? You did this thing that gave you a good feeling. So then now those things are connected.
Yep.
And then every time you have that feeling, you're like, oh, I remember that. I'm going to go
100%. 100%.
You got it.
And what we do is we go back in time to find that origin. Mm-hmm. So with that feeling for this specific habit and specific food, and often it can be related back to grandma. So I had my grandma, who was very nurturing, very, very close with her. I used to go and stay with her at school holidays, and it was like just a beautiful time in my life. And she had this little tin with licorice. And her and I should be on her rocking chair, and I'd be sitting down and we'd be chatting and having this beautiful connection, and we'd eat licorice together. Mm. So guess what I used?
Yeah, licorice.
No surprises. And so it's interesting to start to look at particularly those specific habits that you have. It's no coincidence that it's a cookie and not crisps or chips or, you know, some people it's takeaway, and for some people it's sugar. So they're definitely in the brain. It's linked back to something.
Interesting.
Well, do we get to do that in Bali? Is that something?
We will.
Oh,
we will.
Yay.
We're going to do some work around that.
You made her happy and scared all in the same.
You heard it, right?
Yeah.
It was
Okay. So Mel's voice doesn't normally go that high. Just so everybody's aware.
Yeah, well, because like I almost feel like I'm obsessing over knowing what the beginning is. What is it still? Like, I'm ever since we talked to you on that call on Thursday, I would say I probably think about it at least once a day.
Yeah, because you're curious.
I'm so curious.
Well, Mel's also curious by nature.
I am. I'm very curious.
Like, she's just curious. She wants to know what's going on. And so it would make sense that you're trying to dive deep.
Mm-hmm. Trying to figure it out.
But here's the kicker. You need help to do that.
And I could just stop obsessing over it and just wait till Bali.
Well, this is true. Yeah. This is true. Yeah.
I should just need to tell myself that. I do talk to myself a lot and calm myself down. Mm-hmm. So I will literally tell myself, you're going to solve this in Bali. Leave it alone. Like a dude was mean to me, and I like, right? That I had a dude when we were in when Brandon was a douche. As like he's being a douche to me, I literally am thinking, doesn't matter, I'm going to Bali. Doesn't matter. I even looked at Cal, I'm like, here we go. It don't matter. Because in my head,
Bali is a solution to everything.
Yes.
Yeah. Bali is a solution to everything. Yeah.
Because I get to heal there.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
I think it's interesting because a lot of, and I know I've said that a lot, but this whole topic interests me. So, when you're going into a bariatric journey, mm-hmm. I think it's funny, not funny, haha, but just funny that people just assume they'll have the surgery and then it's just like, it's all just done.
Oh, a lot of us thought that. Yeah. You just thought like you'd lose the weight and that's all. We only thought the weight was the problem.
Oh, 100%.
Because I know
I
felt
just
that.
Just get skinny.
See, it wasn't skinny. I think it's because back in my mind knew I'd never be skinny because I have hips for days. So it's not going to happen. So in my head, it was just like, my head was 100 pounds. You must lose 100 pounds. You'll be fine in 100 pounds.
Yeah.
I did. But there was still a lot of work that had to be done.
Well, there's always more work to be done.
Yeah.
Like you have to work on your mindset, on your limiting beliefs, on the narrative that you have constantly going through your brain playing. I know it's, some people are like, oh, I don't have a problem with food. I just gained weight.
Oh, two of my friends literally go, I don't have a problem with food. I just like it a lot.
Well, that's a problem.
There's something there. Yeah. There's something.
For sure.
Uh-huh.
And in my head, I'm like, I want to know.
Yeah, I want to know what's going on. Or people will be like, well, I don't have trauma. I lived a very normal life, blah, 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 blah. But then as I talk to them, I'm like, oh, well, that's a part of trauma.
Yep.
That could be trauma also. And I don't say it out loud, of course, because that's rude. But except for to Katie, I tell her that.
Yeah, we're allowed to. We're besties. Yeah.
I'm like, you know, that can be considered trauma, right?
Oh, like, oh, yeah.
I think that's a really great point because the way that I grew up, It was a very, privileged. We went to a good school. You know, my parents worked. I had a great best friend. Obviously some issues, with the bullying and so forth. But there was no what we call big T.
Yes.
There was no violence. There was no abuse, mm-hmm. et cetera. And so I felt like for many years I minimized it, thinking, well, I had this good upbringing. Mm-hmm. There's people out there struggling a lot more than me or had it so much worse than me. Mm-hmm. I should just be able to get more control over this. Oh, but no. I didn't realize that there are different definitions of trauma as well.
Yeah.
Well, and you're allowed to have feelings, even though someone else's feelings could be hurt worse. Mm-hmm. Your feelings still matter. That's what I learned over these years. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you still had struggles. It doesn't, like, everybody has struggles. Like, I hear you saying how much your parents worked. So if you had a sister that was bullying you and parents that weren't home all the time, like, that's trauma.
Yeah.
Right there. Mm-hmm. So with the EMDR, like, so what are the things that you do to invoke it, I guess? Like, how does this work?
Yeah. So the pathway is working with feelings.
Okay.
So when we work with our feelings, we are in the body, in the subconscious mind, which is where we want to be. Okay. What's interesting about food is it's the feelings that send us to the food. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's where this is a really critical link. Mm-hmm. So what we might do, and we may even do like a little bit of a demonstration if you're up for it.
Yes.
What we'll do is go through a little quick process and the listeners can feel free to do this as well around really connecting with how we feel about our body at the moment, particularly if we've regained. Okay. So we'll be looking for some, distressing or negative feelings in the body.
Okay.
And then what I'll do is just show you on the screen just a list of some common negative beliefs that we work with. So what we're looking at is matching the feeling, how we feel about our body now, mm-hmm. with a negative belief.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'll talk you through that process.
Okay.
Now, am I able to share?
Oh, let me take it. Hold on.
Get permissions.
That's me.
Give her all the permissions, Kelly.
Ah, there we go.
Okay.
Yeah, see, it doesn't work.
Dead?
I think it's dying.
Awesome, awesome. Okay.
Hold on one second.
All right. Yeah.
Not weird.
It's really weird.
That's okay.
Hold on. Hold, please. I don't think it's connected.
I know.
It's blinking.
Okay. I have it going.
All good?
Okay. We're good. What, maybe? We good?
I'm just going to not look at it.
Don't look at it.
It's blinking now.
Yeah. I did something.
Okay.
Okay. Ready.
We're ready. Ready.
All right. So I invite you just to close down your eyes and just maybe just take a few deep breaths in and out and just start to feel the rise and fall either of your belly or your chest. So what we're doing is we're getting out of our head and getting into our body. Connecting with our body. And now what I want you to do is just connect in with the feeling that you have around how you feel about your body today, how you feel about your body right now. And if there's some discomfort, can you just go in and connect a little bit more with that discomfort? Maybe you can feel something in your tummy or your chest. All over. And particularly for those that have regained, see if you can connect in with that feeling and get that feeling up to an 8 or 9 or 10 out of 10 in terms of the intensity of that feeling. So we're looking for a really big, strong feeling in the body. And maybe that feeling might be disappointment. Could be frustration, could be shame. So we want to get curious. We don't want to name, blame, or shame. We're looking for curiosity here to understand it a little bit more. So I've got that strong feeling in the body. And then when you're ready, I want you to open your eyes and just take a look through on this left-hand side and stay with the feeling and just be curious around what belief might pop up for you. And it might be a couple. So just make note of that and I'll slowly scroll through. So we're linking the feeling with the belief. And then when you're ready, feel free to share what's come up.
I'm a faster reader.
So we're only supposed to read on the left, right?
Yes.
On the left. Okay. Exactly.
I did the assignment correct.
Okay. Good job. So did I. Go us.
Okay.
Okay. You want to share first?
So I just did one in each category. Was I supposed to do?
It's, you could just choose one. It could be a couple. It's the strongest. Like if you could just even pick one or two, that when you say the belief to yourself, you can really kind of connect in. It kind of grabs you in the body where you feel it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So mine is I'm shameful and I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
Okay. I did. Mine was I'm not good enough and I am permanently damaged.
Yeah. Is there any surprises there? Is that what you were expecting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the next stage of that with EMDR is to take that feeling. So where did you both feel that in your body?
Mine was like just in the pit.
Mine was my back and my neck. Mm-hmm. It was like,
yeah,
here and then down my back.
Well, up here.
Mm-hmm. My, yeah. And then the shoulders, like underneath on both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the next stage would just be to take the feeling and go through a process of linking the feeling with the origin, which would be a young memory or just a young feeling if there's not many memories like me, mm-hmm. or just a young image.
Okay.
And then that origin becomes our EMDR target that we would start to use EMDR to take the feeling away,
okay.
and neutralize it.
That's wicked.
I mean, I'm down to get rid of those feelings.
Right?
Same.
Yeah, because like we hold on to it for so long.
Yeah. Yeah.
And why I like to demonstrate it is back to that point I made before is that we're carrying around this stuff already. Mm-hmm. And we're not even fully aware of it. And it's like, think about that excess baggage that's just weighing us down.
It's the thoughts and opinions of other people, like, weigh me down.
That's what weighs you down.
Yeah. Because it's not always nice things that people say.
No.
So, and I tend to take that, like, to heart that I've done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Or that I, as a me, have done something wrong.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also think that
I was trying to think if I could, because what was the first thing you said about how it relates to you?
That I'm not enough?
No. I don't know.
See, I need more context.
I know. My brain's not able to tell you.
Okay. All right.
I can't get it out.
Okay. Sit in it.
Sit in it. Okay. Keep going.
So the first 7 years of our life are most critical mm-hmm. for these belief systems to form. Mm-hmm. And what happens when we have these negative beliefs is that it becomes the filter for our life and the way we view everything in our life. And we try to find evidence to prove these beliefs right.
Mm-hmm. So I figured it out. Mm-hmm. So you were talking about how other people view you and how much it weighs you down. Mm-hmm. When I was like probably around 7, my dad's family, my family, like I'm just, they weigh me down.
They have a lot of.
There's a lot of generational baggage here.
Yeah.
That needs to be gone. Because, mm-hmm. Yeah. Figured it out. That's what I was
Good
trying.
Job. Yeah. Very proud Got of it. You.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's an awesome insight. And it's important, as we talked about, to start to make those connections. And obviously that's where being in therapy and working with therapists, it's really important. Mm-hmm. And also to appreciate what's happening now is often linked to this old stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, that no longer serves us. And that's the bit I really try to educate my clients around, is that, you know, we think, oh my gosh, I just don't have enough control or willpower. I should be able to say no. I should be able to get to my goal weight, but we don't realize there's all this other stuff in the background that may or may not be related to our eating and weight.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's going on?
That makes total sense. Total sense.
Yeah. I mean, so you've been doing this for a long time now.
10 plus years.
Yeah.
So like, what are you noticing are key things that we could, even as parents or as aunts or uncles, can help with our, you know, nieces and nephews to not F them up? You know, how do we?
Or bonus kids.
Yeah.
That you have no idea how to parent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, have you heard of attachment theory?
Inform yeah. us.
So it's big with relationships.
Okay.
So we talk about our attachment styles, and this could be, you know, very informative for our relationships as well.
Okay.
So there are two types of attachments. There's secure and there's insecure.
Okay.
What I find in this space with this client group is that I'm working with a lot of the insecure attachment styles.
Okay.
And in fact, I saw some research to say 80 to 100% of people with eating disorders have an insecure attachment style.
Oh, what does that look like?
It looks like either an anxious attachment style, so feeling a little bit anxious or needy, overthinking, catastrophizing. It could also look like avoidant, don't get too close. Like I maybe crave some intimacy, but don't get too close. Like I'm independent, I don't do vulnerability. And then there's another one which is more disorganized, which is more like a volatile. So this is where growing up, there'd be a lot of that big T trauma growing up.
Okay.
Yeah. So what I really focus on, I've got two boys. I've got a 4-year-old and an 8-year-old.
Okay.
And I'm very focused on that secure attachment style of just being present.
Okay.
Reinforcing positive beliefs.
Okay.
You know, you can do that. I believe in you.
Oh, you know,
resilience.
Being a nice parent.
That yeah. would
be helpful.
Being present.
Being encouraging.
Yeah.
Okay. So all the things we needed.
Yes. Yeah.
Got
yes.
it.
That's what I
got
mean.
It, Doc.
I do it. Mm-hmm. I do it for the girls. I tell them, you know, you're smart, you're gorgeous, you've got so much, you know, like I amp you up.
Yeah. And from it's affirmations.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're their cheerleader. Like who else is going to cheer them on?
Yeah.
Like mom and dad's supposed to be number one, supposed to be like rah, rah, rah.
Yep.
Not rrr, rrr, rrr.
Or find the negative.
Yeah. That's the rrr, rrr, rrr part.
Yeah. Like I, yeah.
So building a secure relationship is like just the reinforcing of positiveness around them, like giving them encouragement. And
just encouragement and helping them with their like co-regulation with their nervous system. So it means if they get upset, we're not making them feel ashamed, particularly with boys, you know, that it's bad. There's just lots of space for feelings. Just really interested in their inner world. Because I feel like myself and many of my clients, as you mentioned, you know, what we're talking about just seems like common sense, you know,
yeah,
like parenting 101.
Right.
But why have we got a situation that most of my clients fall into that insecure attachment? And that's often where we use food as a way to find that connection and support and love, because we didn't have that growing up.
And you're saying the crucial years are like 1 through 7?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's never too late to repair.
Never, ever.
Yes.
Never, ever.
Never.
Because I've learned that just as I'm getting older, mm-hmm. like certain things can just stay there and certain things need repair. And it's very nice, like when they do get repaired. So.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel so much better when I've like, as much as I don't want it to come out, like when I do deal with it, mm-hmm. it's like, well, like this was the interesting one that came up while we were gone in DC is they all got a message.
Oh, yes, yes.
About my ex-husband having a child with his new wife.
Yeah. So they all messaged me being like, you're going to have to tell her.
Yep.
We're nervous.
This time last year, I probably would have had a downward spiral happen. Mm-hmm.
That's why everyone was nervous. Okay. And I was like, I think she'll be okay, guys.
Yeah. I'm peeing.
Like, I'm with you more.
I'm literally in the bathroom peeing. Yeah. And she's like, and I said something and you were like, nope. And I was like, okay, it's about Cody. And she's all, yep. And I'm like, they're pregnant. And she goes, yeah. And I go, okay.
I know her, like, your facial expression was like literally like, don't give two shits. I was like, good for you in my head. I was like, fuck yeah, man.
Finally.
You don't need to care about that nonsense.
Yeah. I mean, has it popped into my head a few times since? Yes. But it's not because there's a whole thing with me not being able to have kids. So yes. I don't ovulate. I can't physically have my own kids. I am 38. I am not starting over in any way, shape, or form. Like, the biggest responsibility I'm going to give myself is a dog. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But for so many years, I was told that because I couldn't have kids. Mm-hmm. So for him to like leave me, have a girlfriend within a week, get married, remarried. And now he's having a kid, like that would all be like trauma, like me just tearing myself down.
Yeah, you would have.
And for the first time, I'm like, there's nothing wrong with me because he's having a child.
No, not at all.
I hope he gets everything he wants.
Like, and isn't that amazing progress? I think sometimes we don't acknowledge that enough in ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're very quick to go down the negative. Yep. But yeah, that's amazing.
Right. I was so proud of her.
How empowering to have that response.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty empowering. And then it led to a whole conversation of like, I'm ready to start working on these things because I can't hold on to the shit that happened for 15 years. Like, I'm in a whole different level in my life and I'm just not prepared to hold on to that anymore. So
that's the excess baggage. It's release the Louis Vuitton, I say. Release the Louis Vuitton.
I love it.
Release it. Release that.
I love it. So what kind of, you just did it where we would close our eyes. You're talking to us. I think I've heard of like, is it called raking or?
Reiki.
Reiki.
Oh, Reiki. Yes. Yeah.
What is that? Do you
That's very different.
It's very different.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. That's more of a holistic healing session.
Got you.
Yeah, like a sound bath.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Which we are doing in Bali, by the way.
Oh, yes.
See, it all comes back to Bali.
Mm-hmm. Always.
I'm so excited.
Not. And sound baths are amazing. Mm-hmm. So
it's so good. EMDR is just working, finding the feelings in the body and then finding the origin and healing and clearing that.
Okay.
Which can be done, research shows, quite efficiently. So it works quite quickly and the results stick. So many clients who have been in therapy for many years and then they try EMDR are, quite impressed at how fast it can work. And after they get into it and have a few sessions, it's not anywhere near as scary as what they thought it was going to be.
Oh, so, I bet. That's good to know. That'd be me 100%.
Yeah.
It's just the first one. It's just the first session. And it's like any first session, right? It's just new.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, and our good friend does ART. So do you know what that is and like how that differs between EMDR?
Did you say ART?
Yeah, I think so.
That's not so well known over here.
Oh, so maybe that's a new thing for the US. Because
she says that they do it in one session. They find that memory, unlock that memory, and release it all in one session.
Sorry, RRT.
RRT. RRT.
So two R's.
Got it.
Yes.
RRT. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. The difference is that that's a newer therapy that hasn't had the same evidence and research as EMDR. So EMDR, you have to be a mental health practitioner to be accredited.
Okay.
So you have to be either a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a doctor. So it's very limited and it's very rigorous, the process. And obviously the research supports that, because anytime you work with trauma, you just want to make sure that you're working in a safe way.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, like I do want someone that's going to be performing or like administering EMDR on me. I would like to know that, like, you know what you're doing.
Well, essentially their fingers are going to be in your brain.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I just don't want to think about that. That's scary. Oh my God. It makes my head just literally. I'm just like, oh, like get out of my brain with your nails.
Think how good it would feel if I could scratch your brain, though.
No. No, thank you.
Well, it's like a head scratch.
And then you're dead.
No. Whatever. Rude ass.
Science, Kelly. You're like, one, two, dead. It's like,
oh, my God. Way to go to the negative, Mel.
I went bloody.
Yes, you did. I went bloody. Okay, so if somebody is looking into getting EMDR.
Yes.
Yeah.
What is there anything they can do to like prepare before going in?
I would say finding the right practitioner would be key, like any therapy is important. The other thing I wanted to mention is I work at two levels, working on the food cravings directly and working on the trauma.
Okay.
I find that combination is very effective, and I've got data to support it around controlling cravings and starting to get back, releasing weight, et cetera.
Okay.
I've had clients where they've only addressed the trauma, just hoping that that would correct the eating and weight by itself. And in a lot of cases, it didn't.
Oh, okay.
So I would just see, for those that are interested in working with someone, to make sure that it's working with someone in this space as well as the trauma together.
Okay. Food and trauma together.
Yes.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Because trauma can just help with trauma, but not necessarily spill over to eating and weight.
Okay.
So what would that look like exactly? Like if we're working on both, who are we talking to? Are we doing the dietitian with you? Is that how?
Oh, well, I would say a therapist. Yeah, I would say a therapist that works in the bariatric
community
space or eating and weight. Yeah.
Got it. So we would do EMDR and we would do like talk therapy.
Or talk therapy with EMDR weaved in together, or you could do both.
Got you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I like that there's so many different ways for patients to get what they need, and like, because obviously like the way that you connect with your therapy is different than the way I connect with my therapy.
Yeah.
And so to be able to change it up and like make it work for the patient, I find that very admirable that you do that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything that you think that we forgot to ask that you want to add?
Probably the only thing I'd just love just to talk about the research. So what does this all mean? Just to tie it together and put a big bow on it at the end is, so I have conducted a case study where I have looked at participants and clients before they started working with me doing this this work with the EMDR working at both those levels and afterwards over a 3-month period. And it showed that their control over their cravings improved by 60%.
Wow. That's crazy.
And I was looking at
that.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. And this particular participant with this case study was, it was very chaotic, unstructured eating. Just whenever at work, whenever there was a plate of something left out, would just mindlessly eat, giving into cravings the whole time. And so, yeah, to actually have 60% more control, more structure. She hadn't eaten one of her go-to foods in 4 weeks. Ooh. She has a very different relationship with it. Wow. So it's very much doing this, right? Neutralizing the food.
Yeah.
She had released 5 kilos, which is a lot of weight in kilos in that month without doing anything else. So no dieting, nothing else, but just doing this work.
I don't
know. How many pounds is that? We should have to put that in Google.
Hey, Siri.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to make everybody's phone.
It didn't work in any of mine.
That's hilarious.
Any of my stuff. Hold on. I'm going to research
I think Georgie's got it.
I'm going to look at
She's got you.
Okay.
She's got you.
I was all ready to do research mode. Maybe stalk somebody. Who knows?
We're editing this bit out, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's 11 pounds.
Okay.
That's a decent amount of weight.
Okay.
Just from just taking control of your cravings.
I would love 11 pounds down just by taking control of my cravings.
Well, we're going to go to Bali.
So. I know. We're getting it all done this year.
Yeah.
And mental health improved as well.
Yeah.
So that improved even helplessness improved by 75%, sluggishness, unhappiness. So that's what I love about this work is that it's about that thriving, stepping into the best version of ourselves and actually feeling it. Because when we feel it, we show up differently. We can step into our potential and power. And this has a ripple effect with those around us. That's sort of what I'm really passionate about is helping bariatric patients to claim their best life and feel better, improve their mental health, have that control over their cravings, which comes from the brain, and start to naturally release that weight and to get those longer term outcomes and live their best life.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because it's like you're helping us break the cycle.
Yeah.
The cycle of negative thoughts and abuse is getting broken, and it's helping us be better people. So then the next generation can be better people.
Because absolutely.
Yeah.
Some of us, had shitty people around us. So that's why we have an attachment style. That's why we eat the things that we eat, and we have the cravings that we do. So if we can break this cycle, then that'll help my kid. It'll help his kid. And then now we have nicer people on earth.
Well, but it helps us be a better person.
Yeah.
General. The whole point, and we talked about this in the episode that released, it'll be 3 weeks ago now. But I say that I lost it. I had it.
She had it right there, guys.
Hold, please,
she says.
No, I don't remember. I don't remember what I was saying. Oh, I got it. Okay. So this is our last shot. A lot of people, we think about that in the regards to bariatric surgery. This is my last shot. If this doesn't work, nothing will.
Right.
And so I think when people go into that, the surgery, thinking that, and then when they come out the other side and they still have cravings, or they can't, they're living off of slider foods, or they're just unhappy. The surgery itself isn't going to fix it. The surgery is not your last shot, because we have to continually to heal and move forward, because we didn't get to where we are to have surgery by being completely mentally stable.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. Well said. And that's where that all or nothing thinking comes in too.
Yeah.
This goes hand in hand with this area, because it's I've regained, I've failed, and then I'll stay in that regained rut and thinking you can't get out of it, and you can.
Yeah. Well, and even Mel said it, once you said it out loud.
Yeah, like, because I'm going through my regain process of like, I finally admitted it to myself and to like to my to everyone.
So the audience.
And once I did that, I felt so just like, even in my body, I was like, and I my shoulders felt better. And like, I felt like I could actually take control now. Yeah. Because like, I felt it come out of me. I was like, okay, now Kelly knows why I'm buying these things and mm-hmm. why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I don't have to explain myself. I told everybody what's going on with me and I owned it. And I felt so yeah. much better to own it. And now it's like, I don't know. It just feels good because no one's judging me. And I think I had this preconceived notion in my head that they're going to make fun of me because I regained. And I don't know who this they is. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do.
You know, I have some ideas, okay? But like,
but, I know.
But thinking of the real they, I have actually surrounded myself with so many better people in the last, like, I would say 4 to 5 years, mm-hmm. That I don't have people being rude to me when I say I've regained or giving me a snotty look about it, or they're judging me and you know they're judging you, like a
smirky, like happy. Yeah,
or like when yeah. I grab any sort of like chocolate thing, you can see them. Like you can see the calculation in their eyes mm-hmm. of like, should you be eating that?
Should you be having that? Should yeah. You be having
yeah, that? I should. Thanks.
So like, yeah. but I feel like I've gotten a lot of those people out of my life. Mm-hmm. And so when I said it, I felt free because no one blinked an eye. They're like, yep, that happens. Nope. It sucks. We've all been there. And I'm like, yeah, that's all I needed. And then I was able to like pick myself up and be like, okay, it's fine.
Yep.
Keep moving.
I was gonna say, been there, done that, got the t-shirt.
Yeah. Got the t-shirt.
Got the t-shirt.
Yeah. T-shirt's important.
Yeah.
So voice, using your voice is key.
Yeah.
Now, ladies, I'm going to have to love and leave you because I've got a client in 2 minutes.
Oh, shit. Okay. Oh, crap. All right. Well, then we will.
All right. We will do the goodbye.
Well, thank you, Georgie, so much for being on. We've learned so much. Obviously, yes. We went over time because that's how much like we were vibing and understanding.
Yes,
each other,
it makes us doubly excited for Bali if we weren't like excited enough.
I know, for reals. Yes. So thank you so much. We're gonna have all your links at the in awesome. The below section.
Yes. So go follow her on Insta or on social media. Make sure to check out the Bali retreat if you can make it. Come on, guys.
Come on,
freaking Bali. Hey, get on it.
Get on
and,
it.
And yeah, we just really appreciate you taking the time out, sharing your knowledge and your insight. And I can't wait to do more of this.
I know.
All right. Well, we love you guys. We love you guys. And we will see you
next time. Bye. Hey, guys. We hope you love the episode just as much as we did. So go over to YouTube, hit subscribe and that little bell and see our lovely faces every Tuesday.
And we are also available on all social media platforms, and we would love for you to stop by and say hi.
Thank you so much for listening.
See you next Tuesday.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Justin and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.